counting is underway. It's neck and neck in the US elections. Each state, of course, is allocated a certain number of electoral college votes based on population. And the winner needs to claim 270 to win the presidency. One of the swing states or toss-up states is North Carolina, which has 15 electoral college votes. Well, Heath Clayton is a Republican and a North Carolina resident who I spoke to earlier today. Heath Clayton, thank you for joining me on the eve of the election results being known. It's very exciting to have you.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be a part of Australia's Morning.
Just tell us a little bit about you.
I was born and raised in North Carolina. I have a passion for traveling. I've traveled in 55, 60 countries and all 50 of the U.S. states, and have been hiking over 5,000 miles, another passion of mine, in 6 out of the 7 continents. And I work for a software company that we do have offices in Sydney and other cities.
Tell us how you're feeling this evening.
I feel very good. So I have to say, I did go back and listen to a couple of your shows, and you were speaking earlier this week about American foods, and someone mentioned barbecue. So just to set the record straight really quick, there's only 4 states in the U.S. that really has proper barbecue. So you can get Texas brisket down in Texas. You can get beef ribs in Kansas City and pork ribs in Memphis. But North Carolina, where I'm from, is known for pulled pork or chopped pork. And so a buddy of mine and I smoked some pig today for about 6-7 hours on the grill. So we've just had a bunch of pulled pork and opened a cold beer to watch the election results come in. And we have maybe a half dozen friends over here tonight, and we are all very optimistic and excited that we think Trump's going to be reelected.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about your own political history. Have you always been a Republican?
So I've always been a Republican, but I've never voted what's considered a straight Republican ticket. Yeah, I would say the majority of the time I vote Republican, but I've also voted Democrat, and I've also voted Independent. I voted for Bill Clinton 1 year. I voted for Ross Perot 1 year. So I tend to try and make my decisions not based upon the party, but on who I think is the best person to lead the country.
Okay, and why do you think Trump is the best person to lead the country?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. I think it starts with, I believe that Donald Trump was probably, since Ronald Reagan, the only president that really carried through on the majority, if not all, of his campaign promises. Too often in America, politicians will tell you whatever you want to hear, they get elected, and then it's all forgotten. And Trump ran on several major points in 2016, and then he followed through on almost every one of them. So he stated that the immigration was totally out of control. It was illegal immigration. We love immigrants in the United States. We have a history of that. But we had thousands upon thousands of people that were just walking across our borders undocumented, and that was a problem, particularly since some of them were, you know, part of gangs or violent criminals or something of that nature. It would be similar to that if, you know, a flotilla came from Indonesia with 10,000 people and you guys just let them land on the beaches of Darwin and walk into your country sight unseen or undocumented. And so he really got that under control very quickly. And now we still have immigration, but it's legal immigration. So that was a big platform of his in 2016. The economy had been really struggling under the Obama-Biden administration for probably 6 out of their 8 years. And Trump promised to re-energize that. And so when he came in, he immediately started cutting a bunch of regulations. And our economy took off in ways that it had never taken off before. In fact, it was historical lows in unemployment overall. It was the lowest unemployment for African Americans since they've even started keeping that record. It was the lowest unemployment for Hispanics since they were keeping that record. And so it was just an amazing economy there. He also said that he would put America first in a lot of our foreign policies and was, quite frankly, ridiculed with that. And you know, he talked to North Korea, and you know, they didn't have the success that I think you would have liked there, but at the same time, they haven't been flying a bunch of missiles over Japan lately either, and nor did he start a world war, which a lot of his critics said that he would do, and instead, he hasn't started any wars. He's pulled us, for the most part, out of Afghanistan, almost gotten us out of Iraq. He's signed 3 peace deals in the last 60 days in the Middle East, and he's also asked our allies, which we still love greatly in NATO, and Australia is another one. But in NATO, he's asked them to pay more of the money to protect the countries in NATO. And so those were some of the key platforms that he said he would do, and then he actually went out and did it. And so I think that that's a lot to be respected in a guy.
Donald Trump came out very early and, I guess, manned up, for want of a better expression, to China and took quite a hard line there. And there was fears of a trade war. Certainly there's been a lot of trade tension between the US and China. Has that had any ramifications, or do you think that's actually worked well for America?
So I think that the trade war with China is still ongoing. I think that China, particularly after the pandemic hit that originated there, has taken a delayed response to try and prolong this to see if they actually have to deal with Donald Trump for another 4 years or not. I think they'll have it much easier under Biden. He's really the first president that has taken on China. They had some very unfair trade agreements that have been very costly to the U.S. steel and to the U.S. agriculture markets in particular. And he directly went after that. But it wasn't only China. He also renegotiated what used to be called NAFTA, which was the North American Free Trade Agreement, that actually lost millions of paying factory and manufacturing jobs from the U.S. that moved down to Mexico. And he renegotiated the deal with Mexico and Canada and got that signed in his first term, as well. So once he got that signed, then he also pivoted to China. And, you know, China, some of the big issues, and I believe that this is affecting Australia as well, is there's a lot of intellectual property theft that's going on with China, and Trump has really come down hard on that. We have some friends of ours that own businesses that they invent things, and they're very small things. They sell for $20 or less, but as soon as they invent them and they get up on Amazon, there are copies of them made in China that infringe upon their patents. And until Trump came along, no one was really trying to address that or the trade imbalance. So I think the jury's still out on China. But again, I'm confident in his deal-making abilities if he does, in fact, win tonight.
What about his handling of COVID? Do you think that he could have done better and that some people will punish him in the polls for that?
I think absolutely people are punishing him in the polls for that. I think that the Democrats have run hard on the fact that he mishandled COVID, mainly because I don't think they have anything else really to run on that resonates with the general population here in the U.S. outside of urban centers. You know, we have a Democratic governor in North Carolina that has also made mistakes in how he's handled COVID here in North Carolina. And just as some of the Democrats are very critical of Trump, some of the Republicans are very critical of our Democratic governor. But when it comes to both Trump or our governor, I don't think that it's fair to judge either of their performances back in January, February, March on data that you have learned in August, September, and October, right? It's very easy to live life in hindsight with 20/20 vision. So I do think that there could have been things that he did better, but I do think that it's also ignored some of the things that he did do. For example, he immediately cut off very early all international travel to China, which is where the virus had originated. And when he did so, Biden in particular accused him of being xenophobic and really criticized him that he was just being racist by doing that instead of trying to help serve the U.S. population. And particularly if you look at New Zealand has taken a very hard stance at anyone coming into their country after the pandemic, and they've done a very good job of locking down their country.
As did Australia.
I wasn't as well read on Australia on that particular one, but I did read some articles on New Zealand. But you know, another thing that I think is really interesting is he enacted a little-used presidential power called the Wars Power Act, where he actually brought manufacturers in the U.S. to the table and got them to stop their production of their normal goods and retool their factories to make innovators and protective gear for the first-line defense of nurses and doctors and things of that nature. He had the Army Corps of Engineers build about a dozen hospitals across the United States, in California, Washington, and a couple of them, four, I believe, in New York. And he also mobilized our medical ships that we used in the Navy and brought one up the West Coast and one up the East Coast. So could he have done better? Probably so. Did he do a good job at it, considering the circumstances and it's the first pandemic in 100 years? I think he did an admirable job and probably does not deserve as much of the criticism that he gets based in hindsight.
Heath Clayton is with me. He's a North Carolina resident, a Republican, and a proud supporter of Donald Trump. Hopes he is elected this evening to the office for another four-year term. Heath, if we take a look at some of his personal characteristics, he seems certainly to have lost a lot of women because of comments that have been misogynist. He has also been accused and found to have lied in certain circumstances. Do you think that that is going to cost him dearly, despite his economic policies that have won the support of people like you?
So there's a couple opinions there. One is, will it cost him dearly? That depends on whether he wins or loses the election, right? If he wins the election, then no, it didn't cost him dearly. If he loses it, quite possibly that could have been. I don't think that President Trump's tone and his rhetoric, much less his tweeting, is defensible in many cases. I don't support it. I don't really appreciate it. And I do think that it has, at times, lacked emotional intelligence on his part. And I think it absolutely has hurt him. There's no question about that. Will it hurt him dearly? We'll know in a few days, hopefully, right? You know, the only thing that I will say in his defense is, in the United States, the majority of our media is very heavily slanted to the left or to the Democratic policies, to the point where, you know, they're grilling President Trump in their town hall meetings and all these interviews. And then, you know, with Biden, you know, they're asking him what flavor ice cream he ordered coming out of a ice cream shop. And only one reporter in the last 2 weeks has even dared to ask him any questions about his son, Hunter Biden, who has business dealings with China, with Ukraine, and documented wire transfers of $1.5 million from the wife of a former mayor of Moscow. But no one's even willing to talk about that at all to Biden. And so where I do understand his tact, maybe, or his tactics are to combat that bias in the media, and he uses Twitter to get an unfiltered opinion out, I think his unfiltered opinion should have a little bit more emotional intelligence most of the time. I don't think some of the things he's done is defensible, but I do understand that he's a fighter, and you know, he's probably swung a little bit too hard in that direction.
Just lastly, it is probably going to come down to the swinging states, the toss-up states, including North Carolina. How soon do you think we will know who has won?
I think that we will have a strong indication tonight around midnight our time on the East Coast as to how this election is going to go. I don't think that either candidate will claim victory tonight. I certainly don't think either candidate will concede tonight. I think that is days, possibly even weeks, depending on how close it is. I think both campaigns, it's been well documented that both of them have, in the U.S. we call it lawyered up. So they have, both of them have scores of lawyers that they already have on retainers ready to file lawsuits and fight this in a legal battle or contest it where there may have been wrongdoings. So, you know, I think the outcome won't be certain for probably, you know, 3 to 5 days, if I had to guess. Could be as long as 2 to 3 weeks. But once the outcome is certain, I'm 100% confident that there will be a peaceful transition forward. It's the in-between time that I think that you could see a lot of rhetoric and even violence in the U.S. We have over 20 U.S. cities have closed down their commerce centers in downtown and used plywood to board them up in anticipation of violence across our country, which is really sad to see. I think that's really terrible. But, you know, getting back to tonight, I think you're going to see Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio and Iowa all be probably declared in Trump's favor before the end of the night. I think Pennsylvania, it's called the Keystone State, is their nickname, and I think it will be a keystone in this election. But because they've been given an additional 3 days to count any ballots that were mailed in, I don't think you'll get a final outcome in Pennsylvania until Friday. However, one journalist was reporting earlier tonight after speaking with the Biden camp that the Biden-Harris camp was saying that they don't need Pennsylvania to win. And to me, that's a harbinger of the fact that they probably think that they're going to lose Pennsylvania, but that's a bit of reading tea leaves. We'll see. So I think it's really going to come down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and possibly even Minnesota. I think those will be the four that tell the tale. Mm. And so will we know that tonight? It may be early hours of the morning before we know that, if not a day or two later.
If Joe Biden becomes president, what do you think his first priority should be?
That's a good question. I don't think he's going to listen to what I think his first priority should be, though. you know, he has already said that his first priority is he's going to raise taxes in the United States, both on the individuals and on corporations, and undo the Trump tax cuts, which, by the way, is another promise that Trump made and followed through on. He's also indicated that he's going to do something that hasn't been done in 150 years in the United States, which is called packing the Supreme Court. So for 150 years, we've had 9 justices that are appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate, and they serve for life at the highest court in the United States. And there's always been 9, and 3 of them have passed away the last 4 years, and so Donald Trump has fulfilled his constitutional duty. He's nominated 3 justices that are all very conservative, and by conservative at that level, it means that they read the United States Constitution, which is the foundation of our laws, and they rule based upon whether it agrees or disagrees with the Constitution. That's not what Biden likes. He likes, and the Democrat Party would prefer a more liberal judge that says it's a living document and they can kind of make up their own rulings as they go. And so now there is a 6-3 conservative majority in the Supreme Court. And so Biden has come out and said that he will appoint a commission to explore adding other jurors, whether it's 3, 5 or more. We don't know. He's refused to ask questions the few times he has been asked about that. And so I think the first things that you're going to see is he will mandate, whether it's legal or not, is to be determined, that all Americans wear a mask for the pandemic. I think he will raise taxes, and I think that he will explore and possibly pack our court, so to speak.
Heath Clayton, an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Enjoy your evening, and thank you very much for talking to me.
Joe, it's been absolutely amazing speaking with you, and I hope that everyone in Australia does take an interest and know that whoever wins this race, Australia is still one of our greatest allies and friends in the world, and we look forward to working with you guys moving forward.
Heath Clayton, speaking to me a little earlier from North Carolina.